Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hello, I'm Alison Larkin, writer, comedian, narrator, and host of the Jane Austen podcast. Join me as we embark on a journey through Austen's timeless stories, starting with Pride and Prejudice. The Jane Austen podcast with Alison Larkin is available wherever you listen to podcasts. 21 seconds.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. It's the UK podcast and I'm from Britain. My name is Alex Simmons. And you can probably tell that I've not done this for a very long time.
I liked it though. Yeah, because you really introduced all the elements. I had to, actually had to do this for an American the other day. Not a colleague, not just a random American. But he, about the new Pokemon trailer, he wanted to know if it was based on the UK or Britain. And I realised I couldn't remember what the difference between those two things was.
Well, they're the same, aren't they?
No. The UK includes Northern Ireland, but Britain is just the island we're on right now.
Well, there you go.
The bigger
that,
one.
That fountain of knowledge is Joe Scrubbles.
Hello.
And we have a new member of the team.
It's me. It's Jesse. It's me, Jesse. The guy from London.
You're going straight for Mario references.
Yeah, exactly.
Really endearing yourself with the old school crowd.
Damn it. I'm young.
Are obsessed with the fact that you're young.
I need to set it forth so everyone knows. There needs to be some sort of time frame so people understand where I'm coming from.
That you don't understand any of the references.
Yeah, that's,
we
that's exactly.
Yeah, okay.
That's what I want to put forth.
In terms of time, what? So if you fuck up, you're going to blame it on you being.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. My lack of knowledge from, you know, like Pogs and Channel Pogs. 4, all those things that you guys
Channel
grew up
4.
With.
Channel 4?
I think Channel 4 still exists.
Yeah, I know.
You only watch E4.
Exactly. I'm young.
Yeah, do you watch terrestrial television?
No.
You're so
it's
young.
It's all about YouTube these days.
Is it?
Netflix, exactly.
Oh, Momo, is that you?
No, not
all. Why has everyone started talking about Momo this week? Is it got big again?
Well, it's gone. Well, I'd never heard of it until my daughter, who is 8, came back from school. Well, actually, no, I'd heard about it in the media talking about it this week.
Yeah.
But every single school in the country, it seems, has warned children about it to varying degrees. And now she's terrified of this thing. And it was like, you'll never ever see it, ever.
Because it's one of those things that's just made up.
Yes.
It's the Daily Mail going, let's scare people.
Can you show me the picture of it? I was like, no.
I don't like looking at the picture of it.
And but also I said, she's seen far worse on like Harry Potter. Dementors, for example, I think are way worse than that kind of face.
Well, I mean, yeah, they destroy you as a they turn you into a shell of a being.
Exactly, they suck out your soul.
I think there's a lot of worse things on YouTube than Dementors, to be fair, in the dark recesses.
And then Momo.
Yeah, exactly.
Momo's. But, do you know what Momo actually is?
No.
It's just a creepy sculpture some Japanese guys made.
So, but I don't know what it stands for. Is it?
Oh,
or is
no,
that
I don't
just that the name?
I don't know.
Oh. All right.
I don't pay enough attention because I'm not scared of killing myself when I see a statue.
Yes, but you're not 8.
No, I'm not saying you're...
Jesse, on the other hand.
Yeah,
I'm
Jesse's
8, exactly.
Prime target for Momo.
Oh, I can't believe it.
Jesse, so, what are you here to do?
What am I here to do? Well, my official title is video producer and editor. Uh-huh. And I think that's fairly cool. I'm quite happy with that.
Good.
It's
I'm
the
glad.
Longest title I've ever had since, you know, I was working at a cinema prior to this. And I was just runner. And that doesn't really fit with what I do since I like to sit down a lot.
I mean, we can make you run about if you like.
Oh, okay. No, keep that's fine. Thanks. I'll stay at the desk.
Good.
But other than that, Yeah, just from university to here. So
that's
I'm young and fresh, you know, compared to everyone else.
For now. Honestly, for the amount you say you're young, I swear to God, if we find out you're 40 years old in a few weeks,
that is
like
a
one
good
of those,
point.
Like one of those Nigerian footballers that lies about their birth certificate.
I'm going to get HR to do some kind of background check.
Background check.
You're
on
the
me.
Kanu yeah. of the UK games industry.
It's like that one film when it was The Orphan. I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like that. You know, I'm going to find out at the end of the year that I'm actually 60 years old and I'm from Russia.
You started this podcast
London.
By spoiling The Orphan.
Oh,
come on,
no,
mate.
I'm sorry. Well, you know what? It's an old film.
Yeah, that's
maybe
fair.
Maybe you're like Benjamin Button and actually you're 65.
I can feel you're almost dead. Thanks. That's nice.
Speaking of films, we've got three questions we always ask people when they join the podcast for the
first time.
First up, what's your favourite movie?
Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring.
Why?
Because it's the only film I felt like that has a true sense of adventure. There's
the only film ever.
The only film. You know, I've not said it enough, but you know, I'm young compared to all these other guys, you know.
You're like Michael Owen. I've only ever seen one film.
Exactly. No, I feel like for me, just
that's
because
it's my favorite.
I do love the Lord of the Rings trilogy. I've read through the books and all the other spin-offs and all sorts. And it's the one film that I can always watch, even if it's the extended edition, which is 3 hours long. And it's just, I don't know, it has a true sense of adventure that I've always loved.
I'm so glad you like it. I don't like those films.
I can't believe
it.
That's it. I'm leaving.
Next, what's your favorite TV show of all time?
Favorite TV show of all time is Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Good choice. Because you're back on track.
Exactly. There we go. It's
even scores.
Yeah. Exactly.
Whether you stay on the podcast is determined by your next answer.
Well, there's one more question we ask that will be impressive after that.
All right, then.
Yeah. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
I'm not talking about it. Good.
I've never seen
it. I do actually. You should. It's very good.
Yeah.
There's 10 seasons of good content.
You've got a lot to get through.
You should. What I'm appreciating about these answers is that they're to the point. You're not one of those people who goes, do I have to choose one?
Well, no, it needs to be straightforward and to the point.
But I think this one's possibly going to be harder for you because you've had two different answers in the time I've met you. What's your favourite game of all time?
Resident Evil 3.
Three?
Resident Evil 3 is my favourite.
What?
Yeah, exactly. Nemesis is 10 times better than Resident Evil 2. It's a lot.
10 times?
10 times better, and that's just the fact. It's because you have Nemesis, and he's just way better than any other enemy you faced in prior Resident Evil games, and even future ones, to be fair. And then also you have like those really cool like mercenary guys in Resident Evil 3, the UBCS, and they're just cool. They all get killed, but it's worth seeing that happen, and that's why that's my favourite.
Are they... Do you expect them to make a remake in the style of 2, 4, 3?
Oh, no, yeah, it's pretty much confirmed anyways, and to be fair...
I don't think it's pretty much confirmed.
I
work in games news, Jesse. If I'd missed that, I would be upset. It's definitely going to happen.
It's 99% going to happen.
Who said that?
Me.
Yeah.
And all the other fans.
It's pretty much confirmed.
Yeah, exactly. And as well, a lot of the assets are already there. You know, you have the police station that's in Resident Evil 3 and all the zombies as well. They just need to obviously make all the other good stuff.
That is actually a really good point that I'd not considered, is that they... Assets-wise, they're well on the way to having the stuff they need.
Yeah,
and
for
like,
sure.
I guess pathfinding-wise, Mr. X works in a similar way.
Yeah, for sure.
As Nemesis, that'd be really interesting.
Nemesis is just a completely different ballgame compared to Mr. X, just because he actually runs. He has a rocket launcher, and he's a lot more scary than Mr. X. Because after you shoot his hat off, he's not scary.
That's true. His
he's
hat is the
cute.
Key to his power.
Exactly.
I agree. When he pats his little head, and he doesn't have
it's
his
really
hat on
sad.
Anymore.
I've got an idea for an upcoming feature on the podcast.
Oh yeah.
Where Jesse confirms every game coming up ever.
Well, you know, we were asking for bits of games rumours from our insider listeners.
Jesse can confirm
or deny.
Exactly. I have all the knowledge. I'm on Twitter and Reddit all the time, but not when at work, obviously, because I'm working.
Obviously.
There we go.
I can see your screen from where I sit.
Crap.
Yeah, that's a good point. The final question is, have you seen The Prestige?
Yeah, it was a late night once when I was like, I don't know how old I was. This was back in the day, obviously. I can't remember anything of it.
Okay.
And
well,
that's it. That's
better than
answer.
Saying it's bad, so I'll take it. At least you've seen it.
Yeah,
it was
good. There we go. That's my answer.
Thank you very much. Right. That's all of Jesse's bits out of the way. What
it
should
is.
We do now?
Well, I was going to talk about something that's not run on the running order.
Go on.
Because obviously you've been here for, what, just over a week?
Yeah.
We've introduced you to Overwatch, obviously. And to Rainbow Six. I get the sense that Rainbow Six is your preferred game out of those two.
Well, you also missed the fact that I was introduced to Apex Legends, had my first game whilst I was here.
Oh, yeah.
As well.
Done
and
all three.
To be fair, I'm not the biggest fan of Overwatch.
That's mad.
I know.
Why? I thought you, considering you have that insane opinion, you were actually quite good and played a Mean Mercy, which I approved of.
I'm very grateful. Very grateful for the kind words. I think support is the easiest thing to get into if you're not that comfortable with a game, just because you can kind of hang back and just learn the overall system. But Overwatch just doesn't have that kick when I'm playing it compared to, I don't know, Rainbow Siege and even Apex. It just doesn't feel as exciting when I'm playing it.
I don't think you know it well enough yet.
No.
I think you'll grow to love it because you will be forced to love it.
Yep, I've come to understand that. But no, just the shooting as well. Like for Apex, you know, it's kind of like built off the foundations of Titanfall 2. And that was one of my favorite first-person shooters of the most, you know, recent years. And it felt great to play as well as Apex. But Overwatch, because it doesn't necessarily feel like floaty, but I guess it doesn't have the kick and impact when, you know, like you're taking down enemies.
Yeah, it's not like a boots on the ground shooter in that way.
Sure.
It is like, in many respects, it is a MOBA, but you're looking through the eyes of a character rather than
above them. It's still fun. I need to get a proper hang of it.
That's the thing. I think once we have you don't have to play it, I suppose, but if we do...
I'll just be sitting there by myself during lunch,
then. We can still all play. Jesse can be the new Gav who just sits there and watches us all play and occasionally turns around.
True, I can't wait to do that.
But no, like, if we do play more, I think the pleasure of Overwatch is more... or the true pleasures of Overwatch are more subtle. Like, it's when you have a really good comp and everything's working. It's more like machinery rather than, like, straight up visceral thrill.
Yeah, and it's not about individual plays either. Although, Cardi.
It can be. Cardi loves it.
I know he does, yes.
Well, no, like, compared to Apex and Siege, it feels a lot more team-based compared to those games.
Yeah.
And just being able to just play support is... That's what I'm built for. That's what I want to do.
That's good.
Just hang back and heal everyone and then think that I've done a good job at the end.
I like that.
I would say that we probably need a little bit more team play in Rainbow Six.
We 100% do. Yeah.
I think the way we play, yes, there's not a whole lot going on. But in terms of, like, you know, again, team comps, I think we just pick people that we're kind of familiar with rather than thinking, actually, this skill goes with your skill.
We don't apply the hero shooter mentality to Siege at all.
No.
We're not very good.
A little bit for Apex.
Yeah. I think my problem with, like, I'm not super high skilled at shooters in general.
Yeah.
And so part of the pleasure of Overwatch is that you get that respawn, retry. Whereas Siege and Apex, like, I'm just fucking dead all the time. I'm just not good.
I feel like those games, Siege and Apex, are a lot easier than Overwatch, even if you just get one life. Because in those games...
I think in terms of what your, like, goal is, 100%. Yeah, because there's a lot more to concentrate on in Overwatch.
Yeah, for sure. And I still need to get up to date on the meta of Overwatch, because there's 6 gazillion different characters, all of which I mean, have no idea.
There are 44 characters in Rainbow Six now, so it's not exactly...
Yeah, it's not exactly
it's
that simple.
I would say to understand Rainbow Six, because they've all got machine guns, and that's the stuff that really matters.
Yeah exactly.
But like, I was chatting to Dale, because obviously he was at the Rainbow Six Invitational, what was that, last week, 2 weeks ago? And he was saying, like, pros retire kind of in their mid-20s.
Yeah.
Because at that point, they realize that's when their reactions have just gone to pot. So we've got an excuse, Joe.
Yeah, we're past it.
I mean, I've been getting all the kills, to be fair. Like, I've mentioned this numerous times. In the office.
So.
No, during Apex, my first match of Apex, I got 4 kills.
That's
and
great.
I was fairly proud of myself.
That is pretty good.
And I only play first-person shooters really on PC and not on console, to be fair.
Snob.
You were looking for a keyboard and mouse on your first day for your PS4.
No.
That was upsetting.
That never happened.
Yeah.
I may have been looking at a few tutorials, but other than that, I think I've been doing quite well. My reflex is still as sharp as ever.
I look forward to your downfall in the next few years.
We'll just watch you getting slowly worse at it.
Down into our level of shitness.
That's a bad segue to our level of shitness. Because I was about to talk about my work this week.
Smooth.
Speaking of shitness, what wasn't shit this week
amazing.
Was all my work.
Good.
I haven't been on the podcast for a bit because I've been traveling all over the place.
Yeah.
And in the course of those travels, I've played approximately...
Lara games!
Yes, exactly. I watched Adam Buxton last night.
Did
and
you?
You've just done a very good impression of his Queen character. I played Lara good games. And I've done previews of all of them. I just thought I'd talk about them for a bit because I haven't done. Oh, well, you'll be bored of this.
No, I was just about to say, I think there's some really interesting stuff
Thank
in there.
Thank you. Yeah, they're all like... slightly smaller things, but I think really interesting. 2019 hasn't grabbed me yet in terms of what's coming out.
Yeah.
I've been playing Ape Out, which is fantastic, by the
way.
But nothing quite has got me in terms of what's new.
No, I'm the same. Like, I started playing a little bit Far Cry.
Yeah. Not into it.
Not even Resident Evil didn't grab you?
It doesn't feel like a new game. That's the problem. Like, it is obviously a new game.
Yeah.
But it's just like, it's kind of there. Like,
yeah,
it's
sense.
A thing that exists.
There's no surprises when it comes to the remake for Resident Evil 2.
No.
Because you've already lived and played
that's
for it
thing.
However many times.
I haven't played it that much. So it's relatively new for me. But I don't know. It feels like it's been around for a long time as well. Because we've been talking about its development for so long. But Judgment is a game that I'm now extremely excited about. Which is the spin-off from the Yakuza studio.
Yeah.
But now you play a sort of sad ex-lawyer who's turned into a PI and has incredible martial arts skills. So it's set in the world, the kind of fake part of Tokyo that most of the Yakuza games are set in as well.
Yeah.
Kamurocho. And it has a lot of the same stuff. So you've got arcades and like full of actual Sega games or parodies of Sega games. I think like Virtua Fighter is just in this game.
That's
which
nice.
Is mad.
That's cool.
And like lots of weird little bits. The only thing missing from the main Yakuza games is there's no karaoke, which is bullshit. I don't know why they've done that.
I'm very upset about that.
That's
that was
not
my
cool.
favorite thing
yeah.
of Yakuza Zero.
That's brilliant. I hope there's still dance clubs. I'm sure there's
there will
dance
be
clubs.
For sure.
But at the same time, it's got this detective story and you're taking part in that, like finding clues, presenting evidence, yep. and it's essentially an Ace Attorney game. And that was the lazy comparison I made when I first saw the trailer, and I played it for 2 hours. I'm like, oh shit, it really is Yakuza
yes.
with Ace Attorney in it.
Yeah.
And I'm now completely consumed with excitement for it, because it's just going to be like 40 hours of mad detective melodrama, and
yeah,
I'm really up for that.
Well,
they're
mentioned
just very good.
You mentioned like the Ace Attorney aspect. How good did that feel just from the 2 hours that you played?
Like, so that was kind of towards the end of my time with it, so it wasn't consistent, but
right.
the stuff... Essentially, the way I've put it in my preview, the best way I can think of, is it kind of is taking the place of the very long cutscenes in Yakuza games. So where in those, you'd just watch Kazuma Kiryu getting angry at someone and then it would cut to a fight. This feels like when you get to someone, there are still cutscenes and there's stuff to be shown, but when you get to someone who's integral to the plot, you're now a piece of those cutscenes.
Yeah.
So like... There's a little system, it's kind of inconsequential, but it's like you listen to them talk for a bit and then you can choose from three dialogue options. And one of those dialogue options is false. It's like it's a dead end question.
Right.
And you're supposed to know from what you've just heard which one the dead end question would be.
Right.
And there's no punishment for getting it wrong. It's just if you choose the other two first, it gives you a bonus experience points.
Gotcha.
And so it's kind of pushing you down roads of being like, pay attention to the dialogue, pay attention to the story.
Yeah.
And then there's things like identifying people on their sort of on a sketch of them.
Yeah.
So you get a little sketch. And so the only one we've seen so far is the one in the trailers, which is a guy with very distinctive features. And there's someone next to him.
Four
looks,
eyes.
Yeah, he's got like a huge mole on his head and stuff.
Delicious.
And there's a guy standing next to him who looks a little bit like him. So you could misidentify him.
Right.
But it's very clear at some point. Yeah. It's very clear at some point in this game, you're going to be put in a room of people who, for stupid reasons, like cosplay costume contest or something, everyone looks the same, and you're going to have to do proper like walking around and identifying people by their features and stuff. And I'm just really excited
cool.
for like the little silly elements that they're going
to
throw in.
Do the facial animations ever like come into play, or is that just like beyond the game in regards to like...
How do you mean?
So if you're trying to like, you know, question someone and you want to tell if they're lying or not, does that ever come into play?
I don't think it gets into like LA Noire territory like that, because that's... I guess LA Noire kind of put paid to
that
by
being
mad. But yeah, it's just like, it's got a lot of the stuff that I really love about Yakuza, and it's trying something new at the same time. And I'm like super into that idea. Like, it just feels like a studio knows what they're doing and then is going, but we're going to stick something else in there and just try it.
Yeah.
So that's good. And then I also went to Sweden to visit the offices of Thunderful, who are
so many places.
I know, right? Who are a new publisher.
Yeah.
Made up of the people who make the SteamWorld games and the people who make Flipping Death, Stick It to the Man, Fae, like these lovely Swedish games. Both studios who I've followed their work for a long time and really enjoy. And they've not merged their studios, but together they've set up a publisher and brought in a guy from Nintendo of Europe to come in and handle their publishing there. So they're bringing on other games. So there's a game called Lonely Mountain Downhill, which is... like a isometric downhill biking game, but it's built to be relaxing.
Oh.
It's really, really fucking good.
Right.
So it's you're basically at the top of a mountain and you just got to get down as quickly as possible. And there's no like problem with falling off your bike and crashing and stuff, and you'll crash bloody loads. It's just about being as good as possible getting down these mountains. So it feels a bit like SSX3, where you had the one mountain you have
that
to go down.
Because I've been playing a little bit of Trials.
Yes.
That's not relaxing.
No, not at all. Yeah, it is actually, it's kind of the same, on the same spectrum as Trials, but at the other end.
Right.
It's very, very calming.
I'm trying to see where the relaxing part comes into that, trying to like bike down a mountain.
Because it's like, you're in sort of natural environments.
Right,
like
okay.
There's very little music. It's all about just ambient sound.
Just
like,
taking it all in as you crash your bike numerous times.
It's really good. And also, I was quite good at it and they were nice to me. So
good. So that made it more relaxing for you.
There's a game I'd never heard
of. All it takes, by the way, to get a 10 out of 10 on IGN. Joe, just
not reviewing
good
it. Not reviewing it. It's fine. And there's another game which I'd never heard of before, which has been out on Steam for a while, called Curious Expedition. Mm. Have either of you come across this?
Nope.
So it's like it's a sort of roguelike strategy game about being 18th century explorers.
Yep.
And you play real historical figures, so Nikola Tesla, Marie Curie,
I'm liking the sound of that.
Like strange choices for this thing. And you go on these like little fantasy adventures to become the most famous explorer in the world.
Yeah.
So it's a setup like 80 Days, if you've played that. So you start at the Explorers Club and they're like, we're going to build a statue to the greatest explorer in the world. You have 6 trips to do this in. And then it becomes these like procedurally generated expeditions that have elements of adventure games. So like making choices along the way.
Yeah.
But also elements of strategy. So the further you travel and the longer you travel without stopping for a rest, the more sanity you lose.
Right.
And you can hit levels of sanity where mad stuff starts happening and destroys your destroys your thing. And you can run out of food, so you have to eat your donkeys or your hunting dogs that you've brought with you. Or you pick up people along the way and you might end up having them like stab you in the back if they don't like your decisions.
Right. So they're going to say you have to eat the people you pick up on the way. Oh, okay. I'm actually quite
happy
with that.
They could eat you as well. And it's this like really, it looks like this super complex but really interesting procedurally generated strategy game that you can play over and over again and it's never going to be the same thing. And so they've kind of released this in early access on Steam, I think like 2 years ago, and now they're bringing it to consoles under the Thunderful label, and including Switch, which is going to be 100% the perfect choice, great. They've also announced Curious Expedition 2, which is a similar idea. But the story they told, which I absolutely love, is they pitched it to Thunderful with just concept art.
Yep.
And the concept art, instead of the pixel art of the first game, they're going for like Hergé Tintin style illustrations. And one of the guys that runs Thunderful has like every Tintin book of all ever released and has like a collection of Tintin stuff. And instead of asking to see any of the game, he was just like, yeah, done. And that was their decision to publish it.
Good call,
which I think
fan,
is great.
Then.
That's it, isn't it?
Yeah, just,
maybe
just
I need
know
to think
who you're
about
pitching
that. It's
to.
Like when it comes to budgeting for next year, it's like, what does my boss really like? Right, let's wrap it up in that.
Yeah, so those were two really interesting games that I haven't written about yet, but they've got a lot of really interesting stuff. The two games I have are Ghost Giant, which is a VR game about helping a little mouse.
That sounded good.
It's really nice. And it's a VR game built around messing about, like just poking people and like scaring them because you're a big invisible ghost and no one knows you're there.
Would that be good like first VR experience? Because I've never even touched anything VR.
I mean, for someone who's never, for a non-gamer, I think it would be a really good one. Like, I think you know games. You'd be able to, it depends what you're after from VR. Like, this seems like quite a relaxing little storybook adventure where you kind of, like, there's light adventure game or like point and click style stuff in there, but it's more about a story being told to you and you just, you're a giant ghost, weirdly, in Ghost Giant, who is put in a series of environments with loads of stuff to muck about with. So like there's an apartment block and you can take the front off and see everyone's like little rooms and like help them out doing stuff or whatever they need.
Yeah.
Or you can just mess about. Like there's one bit in the trailer where a guy's watching TV and he's like, I love this show. And you can just press a big button and it changes the channel and pisses him off. It's like, I really like that element of just messing around.
Yeah.
I think it's
like
really
the way you spoke about like VR as a whole, like the PlayStation World's like gangster
Oh, yeah.
Thing, whatever that's called.
Yeah.
And you've got that thug that's right in your face, and you're there just like chucking lighters at him.
That's it.
Flicking cigarettes in his face. Yeah. And he doesn't flinch at
all. That's it. There's something really funny about an inconsequential act of just fucking with stuff.
Like,
just,
I've seen you spend way too long doing that kind of
stuff. I've played that demo genuinely, like, I would say double figures. Like, every time I turn on PlayStation Worlds, because I often, if people come to my house, I'll put them in a game from that, usually the deep sea diving one, so they don't have to do anything.
Yeah, yeah.
But it will inevitably get to, like, let me show you how funny this is. And then I'm just like, got a lighter under his chin, like, take that, Mickey. So that's really good. And the other one is the new game from the SteamWorld people, which is SteamWorld Quest, which is, they keep reinventing what SteamWorld is, which I love. So it's been a platformer, it's been a tower defense game, it's been like a 2D XCOM, and now it's an RPG like Paper Mario, except all the battles are card games.
So it seemed quite complex.
It's complex. It's a simple setup, but if you're into card games,
yes,
which I don't play them so much anymore, but I played a lot of Magic and Netrunner. Yeah. As soon as you see the mechanics, you go, shit, this could get really intricate in a fun way. The weird thing about SteamWorld is it's never pitched that hard. Like, there's a lot to it, and it's really meticulously designed, but I've never really found myself stuck in a SteamWorld game, no matter what they are. Yeah. This is the first one where that's a potential, but I doubt they'd ever push it that way.
Right.
So I wonder whether they'll do challenge modes to really up that kind of challenge for card game players.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is, you know, you've got people that literally just play that. I'm thinking like Cam from AU.
Yeah.
He just plays Hearthstone.
Yes. Yeah, and he'll see that game and go like, right, I see how this works, and how they could cascade into one big like load of stuff. So to explain, essentially you've got three party members, and every party member has an 8-card deck which represents their abilities. They have like weak abilities, like basic attacks, or it's like your standard RPG stuff, or stat buffing magic, that kind of thing. Those, when you play them, build you a resource called Steam Pressure, which is essentially like your mana, and that lets you play really strong cards. So the idea is that you have decks that can power themselves at the same time as using really powerful stuff.
Yeah.
Then it builds things like, if you build chains of attacks from one character, you get extra attacks and stuff like this. So you're suddenly going like, how could I build this deck to help this deck when they're mixed in, shuffled in together when I'm fighting and stuff? And it's just, I'm just super excited about having the opportunity to mess around in a SteamWorld game again, because they really get like how to take one idea and blow it out into 10 hours, 15 hours of stuff.
So is it online only, because it's three players?
No. So it's like a single player RPG.
Oh, okay.
So you're just going through an RPG story like a Final Fantasy,
right.
But this is just the means for getting through.
Right.
I doubt they'll do online, but there's the potential they could.
Yeah.
But I think just every SteamWorld game is now exciting to me because I know they're going to try something new, which is really weird for an indie studio.
It's very smart.
Like, yeah, just...
But also, to have that through line and that pedigree that runs throughout all of them as well. It's not as if they're trying different stuff and then missing every single one.
That's
kind
it.
Of delivering.
They're really... They're becoming like a really trusted force. Yeah. And so I visited them last year, maybe the year before, I can't remember, and when they hadn't merged with the other companies yet. And at that time, they were working on two games. And every time I went in for a meeting with someone, a little group of people would have to scurry away because they'd been doing designs, but they like have whiteboards and like tables you can draw on.
Yeah,
so I kept seeing all this stuff like written in Swedish, like, but diagrams in Swedish on everything. And at the time, they were saying like, we're thinking about not making a SteamWorld game for a bit because we don't want to like play our hand too much. And genuinely, I think what's happened is they've come up with an idea and then gone, that could easily be under the SteamWorld banner.
Yeah.
And like just putting it out there. And I love the idea that they can just be like, game design, game design, game design. Oh shit, that fits, or that fits, or that fits. And then they just pull them all together.
Yeah.
I think it's just, they're a really exciting little studio.
What's a good place to start with the SteamWorld universe, since I'm just not familiar with it at all?
Like, in terms of, like, there's no lore to learn, really.
Yeah.
Like, it's a silly thing about the human world ended, they left behind some robots, all the humans that were left went mental and lived underground. I would say, well, it depends what you want. Like, SteamWorld Dig 2 is an amazingly cool platformer where you're essentially creating your own map by digging. So you're kind of trying to get through the world in a Metroidvania-y way, but right. it's all based around you creating the terrain to get there.
So really, you're kind of safe to start anywhere because all their games just like just
they're
so
all
varied.
Just good, and yeah. they all work in and of themselves. Whereas Heist is essentially 2D XCOM, so it's a really smart squad-based tactical shooter. Okay. It's fantastic. Like Heist is my favorite of them because it's just it's one of those games where you start again, like Quest, where you start yeah. playing and you suddenly go like, fuck, there is so much I can do with this little pool of stuff. Yeah. And it just you're constantly thinking of new ways to play the game yeah. better. I love it. Anyway, that was a very long way to say I played lots of games recently and you should
well
too.
Well done you.
Thanks, mate.
What have you been doing, Jesse?
I recently saw a little film called Fighting With My Family.
Which is directed by Stephen Merchant, isn't it?
Exactly.
And it's got The Rock in it. That seems like quite a big film.
Well, I mean, it was a good film. It was a nice film. It's like a little charming unoffensive sports film, kind of beat for beat. You know what's going to happen mm-hmm. in the film. There's not really any surprises. Just a nice, charming, somewhat cheesy film to watch.
It's about an actual wrestler, right, Paige?
Yeah, I believe it. Yeah, her name is Paige, and it has like you know the usual cameos from like the odd wrestler peppered here and you know all around the film. But it really is just Paige, you know, building up the confidence to then try and you know push into the WWE whilst also dealing with various little family issues.
Okay. Like, are you into wrestling?
I was for a long time into wrestling, but then I guess my WWE subscription ran out and I just never really renewed it again.
Dale's going to make you get back exactly. on that. He wants someone to talk to.
I'll be jumping on that soon. But yeah, I was really, really into wrestling, and it was kind of maybe just before Paige kind of entered the WWE.
I was going to say, do you know Paige then?
Cause like, I mean, I've seen the odd match with her, but there's not really like any storylines or like what kind of wrestling character she is. I don't really know much of that. Mm. But the film like portrays and paints Paige as the kind of really identifiable wrestler. Like it's kind of easy just to get the story right off the bat from the film. Mm-hmm.
It's just, so is it obviously a lot of British cast? Is it a British film? Is she a British wrestler? Like, I have no
idea. Paige is, I believe, the youngest WWE champion, I believe, of the female
British.
Division. Yeah, British.
Right.
Well.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure. And they make a point of that in the film. There's a lot of jokes at the expense of her being British and so on. But yeah, it really was just a really kind of sit down, just put on your TV, just cheesy, enjoyable film to watch.
I really like. I think it's like quite guilty pleasure is not a term I really like, but the kind of those sports films, like you say, where you can yeah. guess beat for beat how it's going to work out. There's always going to be like they're struggling against the odds. They start doing
yeah,
well.
Exactly.
There's a setback, and then they succeed.
Yeah, there really are no surprises. And as well, that like The Rock's presence in the film, because he's heavily advertised as being in the film, yeah. but really he's only in there for a few scenes.
That
and
sounds about right.
That him being in the film is where the cheesiest moments occur. I was almost waiting for him to kind of like turn to the camera and wink, just from because he's. It's weird. He's playing himself in a film where he's playing his wrestling character as well. When you have
oh, of course, right?
Yeah. So you have Paige, obviously, like the actor who's playing the actual wrestler, but then The yeah. Rock himself is playing himself as the wrestler, and it's just it's kind of just a weird feeling in the film.
Right.
It's like this multi-layered kind of I don't know characters in the yeah. film. It's just very weird.
It's quite meta.
Yeah, exactly.
I quite like that. Yeah, I had the same feeling about. Did you ever watch Eddie the Eagle?
Yeah.
Like, which I, yeah. exactly the same thing.
I really enjoyed it.
I just think it's really satisfying to watch.
Yeah.
Just a pleasant time spent with weird people.
I did find, like, Taron Egerton's entire acting was just him sticking his chin out.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
that's
after
all
a while, I was just like, can you stop doing that? I get it. You're supposed to be Eddie the Eagle, but it's like going, and that's it.
That's quite fun, though. I mean, that must be a good role. If you get it and they're just like, stick your chin out a bit, it's probably
what
fine.
What do you think he's going to do for Elton John? What's Elton John's signature look?
It's just looking a bit furious at people, isn't it? He's an angry man. I doubt it will be. Yeah, he's. Have you never seen him getting really pissed off with
isn't
people?
No, I've just always seen his advert.
Yeah,
no,
exactly.
That's
all I've seen of him.
That's the classic impression of Elton John is that he's just really angry yeah. at people.
He just always seemed happy all the time.
Well, he is
I've seen all
stage.
The wrong videos.
That's
then.
The John Lewis advert.
Oh, right, yeah,
you're
my
basically
bad.
Basing it on two different adverts. That's it.
Whoops. Got my Elton John law wrong
yeah.
again.
Eddie the Eagle, one of the few films my dad appears in, just so you know. Back of his head. He's in other films as well that we've had to cut out of this for legal reasons. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, we had some of the cast of Fighting With
not
My Family,
Rock.
Not The Rock, sadly, in the studio, in these very seats.
I know. Who was in my seat?
Yellow wasn't used for the R bit, but for comments, blue was Stephen Merchant
Ooh.
And Florence Pugh, who plays Paige. My seat, red, was Nick Frost and
somebody else.
Jack Loudon, who plays the brother of Paige.
Exactly.
And we've got an IGN comments video going up tomorrow with all of them.
That is exciting.
They are, I mean, it goes without saying, they're well funny. Yeah. Stephen exactly. Merchant and Nick Frost are very funny people. Yes. Although Nick Frost seemed a bit like over ill.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was sort of sitting down for a while and was like, what's this then? Like, not mean, just like...
He passed a lot of it to Merchant.
He's been doing this for a long time.
Yeah.
He's been made to do comedy features a lot. But Jack Loudon...
That's what he is.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But Jack Loudon, who I don't think I've heard of before... It has like the driest sense of humor of anyone I've seen on IGN comments. Like, I don't know which ones are going to make it in.
Right.
He doesn't give a shit about your feelings.
Oh, really?
Like, he takes the piss out of a lot of people. Good. It's great.
Nice.
No, specifically upset about Origami as well. He went into that.
Yeah,
about
I'm sure.
The Origami Killer.
I think that'll make it in. Watch out for the Origami Killer section, because it was lengthy to say the least.
For sure.
Right. That's fine with my family. Now, Jesse, I don't know if you're familiar with the podcast, but we used to have a quiz called Keyword Countdown that we can't do anymore. Yeah, because someone decided to leave. And so we were on the endless search for a quiz that can possibly replace it. I'm actually returning to a previous quiz.
Is that allowed?
It's not the first time.
It's not.
I can't believe it's the first time I've done it. It's the first time you've done it, yes.
Because... frankly, I didn't have enough time, and this is one of my favourite quizzes we've done. It's called PG Tips.
PG Tips. Time for PG Tips! Oh my, that's fruity.
Time for a nice cup of PG.
It's PG, pick the youngest, freshest tips of the tea bush.
PG Tips was invented by Richard Wright in Pontypridd. To refresh your memory, IMDb provides parents with some crazy guidance if they want to check that the film is appropriate for their kid. This game is to guess a film from the parental guidance entries on IMDb, as supplied by users of IMDb, which explains why they're so mad.
This is going to go well.
I'll read out 5 entries for each film. The sooner you get it, the more points you get. So you get 5 for the first guess, 1 for the final one. The winner is the person with the most points after 5 films, and there is a link between all 5.
So you've come up with all these?
I have.
All right.
Well, I mean, I've come up with the films, and I've taken the guidance.
And I'm facing Alex.
You're facing Alex?
Yeah, right. I'm dreadful at these.
Oh, no, I'm expecting to fail completely.
Well, as we've always said, the longer you take to get it, the more fun it is for the audience. So,
right.
But if you don't get any of them, let's talk about it. So, first film. First clue. A woman is stabbed in the face off screen.
That sounds like a typical day.
Off screen.
This is just for films?
Just films.
Yes. Okay.
Don't know.
Okay. A character makes a passing reference to murder victims who thought they would only have to suck a little dick and jiggle some balls.
What? Is it a PG film?
I was going to say Murder on the Orient Express, but not
that. Whole point
no,
of this.
PG is parental guidance.
Oh, I see.
They're being warned about these vulgar things.
This is not a PG film.
Right. That's why I was like,
Toy
what
Story.
What the hell is this?
Yeah, it's Inside Out by Pixar. Yeah, you know that bit where Sadness says she has to suck a little dick and jiggle some balls?
That's what I mean.
Oh, that's right. A terrible image.
Okay.
Yeah. A character is seen visibly drunk. People discuss drinking as teens, and a man is addicted to cigarettes, but is cured.
I feel like that could be any film.
How many films have you seen where someone's cured of their addiction to cigarettes?
Too many,
This is where some people are definitely getting it at home.
Shit.
A deer hits a moving car and dies. Its body is seen on the side of the road. It is more used as a jump scare.
Crap, I know the film.
Yeah.
I don't know the name.
What do you mean you don't know the name?
I watched the film bloody last year, not too long ago, and I can't remember.
It's quite recent. I'll give you 5 more seconds.
Shit, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
Halloween?
No.
There is a... Oh, no, what I'm trying to think.
Final... clue.
This is killing me.
An older woman asks, is black really better? Referencing the penis size of the young man.
I know the film, I just don't know the name. This is so frustrating.
I don't know.
Oh, sorry.
Oh.
Nearly got it.
I'm not going to be able to get the name out of my head. Oh. Or rather, yeah.
It's Get Out.
That's it.
Oh.
I wanted to say A Way Out, but that was a really terrible cooperative game that came out last year.
It was. Yeah, so that's your five good clues for Get Out.
That went really
good
well.
Start. I thought that was the easiest one. So here we go.
Shit.
Film two. A raccoon is abruptly flattened by unknown forces, and there is a large blood splatter.
So that's not Guardians of the Galaxy, then?
No.
Damn it.
I don't know.
Kids are in peril.
There's lots of films.
Could be. The monsters in the movie's designs can be quite frightening.
Oh, great.
I like quite.
That's precise.
Quite frightening.
It's not Stranger Things. It's a film, not...
It's a film.
Okay.
Kids and Monsters.
And it's not It.
No. And a squished raccoon. The audience sees a tub with a fair amount of blood in it, and later on, a bloody hand is seen.
What film has kids and bloody hands and squished raccoons?
And a tub.
And a tub.
No?
No.
No.
One of the main characters is pregnant. Her water breaks and she bleeds before she delivers a baby.
Place. Huh? A Quiet Place.
A Quiet Place.
That was it.
Before she delivers a baby in unfavourable circumstances, nothing explicit is shown.
That's good.
Yeah. I'm glad we don't have to see The Cruelty of Birth.
I've seen The Cruelty of Birth.
Have you?
Yeah.
This is going to get deep.
It was a very touching moment.
Good. I'm glad.
How many points did I get for that one?
One.
Sweet.
It's 1-0 out of a possible 10.
It's all over for me.
Right. Film three. I keep nearly reading the name of the film.
Please do that.
A couple of scenes of casual drinking. This, I think, is the hardest, by the way.
Spotting.
No. There's more than casual in there.
I guess so, yes.
Two men have a comic fight and hit each other in the testicles.
Oh, Step Brothers?
No.
Oh.
Kingsman?
No. A naked man powders himself. We see him from the back and waist up in front of another man. He asks, "Do you see my point?" during a conversation. And the other man says, "Yes, I do," while looking at his penis. I believe this is in the trailer.
Great. No.
No.
This one's quite long. In the uncut version, there are four uses of fuck. When Dennis forgets his keys and loudly exclaims, "Fuck!" outside his front door. When Mr. Gosh Dash Tidar is telling Dennis about his marriage and he claims the best thing he remembers was all the fucking. When Libby shows Gordon to a bathroom and he says his shoes hurt like fuck. The cut version and unrated version has one F word, which is the part when a reporter asks Dennis how he feels and he replies, "How the fuck do you think I feel?"
If I'm not getting it with Gosh Dada, then
I've
given
you
hope.
All the character names.
Well, that's it. Dennis, yeah. Libby and...
and Mr. Gosh Dash Tada.
Yep, that's it.
I kind of would... I would imagine I would remember that character.
But that's in the uncut version.
He's definitely in the main version.
Right. Damn it.
And, finally, the main character runs for an erectile dysfunction charity to replace another runner. He is not personally afflicted.
Oh. It's not Run, Fat Boy, Run.
It is Run, Fat Boy, Run.
Oh, my God. Great.
I didn't know that was about erectile dysfunction.
Yeah, there you go.
I assumed it was because he was overweight.
Can't believe you forgot Mr. Gosh Dash Tidar saying he's sorry. You must own the uncut version of Run, Fat Boy, Run. That's the Criterion Collection.
Also, like, I don't remember the characters' names in that film.
No,
can't believe it.
I just included that.
I'm
just
glad
in
I've
case.
Done so okay. Well.
I mean, to be fair, he's two up. Yeah. Like, you could take this with getting the third clue on this one.
Oh, God damn it.
Actually, this might be the easiest one, but we'll see. A man suffers from a heart attack. Very brief. Which actually, that makes a lot of sense when you know what the movie is. Lots of name-calling and insults. Bosom, tart, chicken, shut up, crapper, gay, sod, tit, git, weird, idiot, stupid.
Well, it's definitely a British film.
Yeah, yep. For sure.
Lockstock.
No.
Snatch.
No.
Anything that Guy Ritchie...
No.
Crap.
multiple animated bare bottoms.
What?
Don't get it.
I'll give you 5 seconds. I gave Jesse 5 seconds earlier.
I can't remember what that film is called.
All right, next one.
Monty.
No.
Oh, thank God.
Animated, though.
Yeah, but then maybe they jiggle them around. Doesn't necessarily mean cartoon animation, but I assume you mean cartoon animation.
Yeah, now that I've corrected you on that. Animated bottoms.
Not just static.
Just moving around. That's really good. Two men sword fight. Eventually, one man cuts off the other man's limbs one by one, drawing much blood. He's left on the floor without any limbs. Lasts about 2 minutes.
I watched this last month and it's... Monty Python and the Holy Grail?
Correct.
That's it. There we go.
Finally, in a humorous scene, a seemingly harmless rabbit bites several people's heads off. Monty Python and the Holy Grail. Two all.
We're
back in. It's a big scoring game of PG tips over here. Right. Final film. The Clincher. Unless one of you gets 1 point and the other one gets the link.
Oh, God.
A man is killed when a rocket is fired at his helicopter and it explodes in slow motion. The man's clothes can be seen flaking away into ash, along with his face and hair. Eventually, his head is engulfed in flames and explodes.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
That's pretty extreme.
That's horrendous.
I've not seen this film.
The Expendables?
No.
Damn it.
And I'm reading this as written.
Yeah.
At the helicopter scene where a man crushes his privates while he swears. With an exclamation mark. No?
No.
In a weapons room, a man and a woman are seen comedically taking off their clothes as we see the woman in a bra. The scene does not go further.
This sounds like a terrible Matrix scene.
No.
It's a terrible film.
I was thinking Starship Troopers, but she takes her bra off in Starship Troopers.
She does. And we all remember that. Two characters are seen lighting up joints in a montage.
I'm not sure I've seen that.
No.
Before the interview, the North Korean leader takes off his robe and is seen nude from behind. People at home are going to be going mental right now.
This only came out not that long ago.
No.
Is it the other one with Seth Rogen?
Yeah.
Yes.
I can't remember.
No.
Let me read it again. It. Before the interview, the North Korean leader...
Isn't it called The Interview?
It's called The Interview.
Shit.
You get the point.
Damn it.
I thought I'd go easy with the end. So that's 3-2. Now, Jesse, you could clinch it.
Great.
Or you could run away with it.
Yeah.
By 2 points. If you get the link between these five films, Get Out, A Quiet Place, Run, Fat Boy, Run, Monty Python and the Holy Grail, and The Interview.
Isn't it something like the lead actors have all been in...
Nope.
What
did you think it was going to be?
Well, because like A Quiet Place, John Krasinski was in a sitcom. Run, Fat Boy, Run, whatever. Simon Pegg was in.
You're on the right lines.
Was in Spaced.
You're definitely on the right lines.
Is it something to do with US and UK versions of the same TV
show?
No. Bollocks.
Simpler than that.
Oh.
They all won some sort of award.
No.
Damn it.
I mean,
trying to go as simple as possible.
No, I don't think Run Fat Boy Run won any awards.
No.
Unless it got a Razzie.
And the Get Out dude was in Black Mirror.
Off track again.
Oh. Don't know.
Nearly there. They're all directed by TV comedians.
Who
Jordan
directed?
Peele, John Krasinski,
yeah.
David Schwimmer.
Directed Run Fat Boy Run.
Run Fat Boy Run.
Didn't know that.
Monty Python and the Holy Grail and Seth Rogen from Freaks and Geeks.
There you go.
Interview.
Utter disappointment
Bang.
In my performance. I can't believe it.
I mean, let's just hope everyone loved it.
Great.
Yeah, you won. Fair play.
Congratulations.
Great. Right. Feedback. Alex, would you care to begin?
All right, so I've got an email from Stephen Geller who says, long-time listener, first-time feedbacker. He was born in Ottawa, which is in Canada.
Correct.
And raised in Montreal.
And what I'm saying is, he's correct to be born in Ottawa, because I was too. Legend.
Did you see that programme on TV last night about the three twins that were separated at birth?
No.
Maybe he's one of your twins.
I think that would be weird.
Well, it would be weird, but this was weird. Anyway, he moved to the UK when he was 11. When did you move to the UK?
Six. But we had different families.
Exactly. Anyway, so he was surprised to discover on this week's podcast that Joe had a similar Canadian heritage. There you go. It's because he's your brother.
I discovered it through Friends Reunited.
Exactly. Anyway, he said he hopes he had a good time. Oh, it wasn't us that was at Montreal. Unfortunately, that was Cardi and Dale. But he misses his snow-covered poutine. Hometown.
Okay.
I missed the hometown. Otherwise, it sounds like...
It sounds like a soggy poutine.
I need clarification on that one.
He currently works in London, and hearing us talk about these cool events in cooler places makes me wonder, have you ever had to leave the UK but still work in the same industry? And where would you move to and why?
Oh, I see.
So have you had to do it but still work in the same industry, but would you like to do it and where?
I've never had to move because of work.
No.
Although I have moved country because of my dad's work, so yeah. That was a thing.
Not even in the UK you've never moved?
Not. I've moved from Hertfordshire to London. That's not far.
No, that's not.
Because you do that commute.
And you can, yeah, exactly, yes.
Is there another bit?
Well, if you were going to do it, where would you go?
Oh, if I was going to move for work?
Yeah.
I mean, the problem is the only other place to do this work is in San Francisco. There's only two places in the world.
But that the ideal scenario, if you could move anywhere, I suppose.
Honestly. I want to live in Newcastle again.
Newcastle.
I love Newcastle.
The magical location of Newcastle.
Did not expect that as an answer.
Love it. Favourite town. So I'd just go and live up there. Do it remote. Can I do that?
All the hot press events in Newcastle.
I was going to say, there used to be a developer in Newcastle. Is there anymore?
No, I think everyone shut down. Oh, Reflections was Liverpool, wasn't it? No, it was. No, that is Newcastle. Oh, it's still there as well.
Right, okay.
Yeah, because I've been there recently. I'm an idiot.
Well, go work for Reflections.
Who am I thinking of? Oh, Cygnosis.
Yes.
They were cool.
Yes. I moved from the South Coast, where I grew up, to Macclesfield.
Did you?
Yeah.
For what?
For my first gig in the games industry.
Which one was that?
It was so long ago. I don't want to talk about it. It's embarrassing. But I was 17 at the time.
Oh. That's unbelievable.
So that shows you how...
That's basically me.
That shows you how much law has changed. You wouldn't be allowed to do that these days.
There wasn't anything illegal about it.
Sounds like they kidnapped you, Alex.
But it was weird because I ended up moving in with someone else who was working on the magazine. But I'd never lived away from home. Mm. So I don't think I'd ever cooked for myself before.
Shocking.
Did you not get taught?
Back in the day.
Well, you know, this was a long time ago.
Yeah, fair play.
No.
Cooking wasn't popular back then.
Did you get into cooking while you were there? Or did you live like a dirty student?
Exactly, of course, yes.
I'm just wondering.
And all of my money went on booze and fair shit play. Like that, yeah.
Macclesfield booze. That must have been cheap.
It was. I remember it was £1.05 for a pint of Boddington's.
Good Lord.
I know, right?
You and Melanie Sykes hanging out. That sounds good.
Yeah.
That sounds all right. Fair play.
But in terms of where I'd go, I did used to quite fancy like New York and places like that, but now I've got kids...
Can't be asked.
I would like somewhere a bit warmer, like maybe Australia, but I've never been, so I don't know what it's like.
Actually, yeah, Australia's good. It's well hot, though. But
that's what I'd quite like to get.
Yeah, actually, I wouldn't mind living in Canada again. Toronto would be good. I've got family there as well.
You get the extremes there, don't you? You get really warm summers.
Super summers and crazy winters.
And it feels like they're actually capable of running a country 100% with those temperatures, whereas the UK is not.
The problem is that they can run a country when it's snowing, but when the world starts raining golf ball hail on you, there's not a lot you can do. I remember my uncle just being like, yeah, check this out. And it was like ice storm shouldn't be a term that exists. No. It's just like chunks of ice that had smashed everything on their street. You're like, oh my God.
Yeah, what can you do?
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing.
You can't build an umbrella for that. I mean, you could, but it would be very heavy.
Yes. It's an easy answer, Amsterdam. Just because it's the ultimate form of London.
You didn't move to there for a trip? No.
I've always lived here, unfortunately, but if I could move to Amsterdam, I would. It's basically like the ultimate form of London. Near enough, everyone there speaks English. The food is a lot better. And it's just a cleaner, nicer version of London, essentially.
Are you saying that you like to get crazy high, Jesse?
No, not all. No, not all.
You straight edge?
Yeah, fair hardcore play. Man. The haircut insinuates that too. But I'm not in love with London, living all my life, especially the area and I live in. But it was like, what, last year I went to Amsterdam for only about 4 days and I was like, man, I wish London was like this.
That is a beautiful town. And yeah, it's one of those places where wherever you walk, it seems to be amazing.
Yeah, for sure. And like, if I was only there for 4 days, so it was like kind of like a honeymoon period, but it just felt safer than London. just as well, just being able to walk around, cause like the Amsterdam center at like 2 a.m, don't feel like I'm going to get stabbed in the face.
I started watching a crime drama called Baptiste this week, and it makes Amsterdam look well scary. So I'm not going again.
Okay, great.
There was another part of that question, wasn't there? Where's the best place that work's taken you?
Oh.
And I just thought you'd have a good answer because you are.
Alternatively, where was the best place work has taken you?
You've gone to lots of cool places in your time.
I have. I've spoken about it a lot, but in terms of the best press trip was the first Tomb Raider because that was 4 days in Egypt for a 20-minute presentation that I almost didn't turn up to because I was in the pool drinking cocktails.
It's the old days.
I know. But then,
The first Tomb Raider, so the actual original and not the remake.
Yeah. It was nothing. Nobody really knew anything what it was.
Yeah.
So, but then everybody got the shits from the ice that was in the cocktails.
Oh, no. Good.
Yeah, the flight home was pretty nasty.
That's bad.
So that was
the
good.
Flight. No one needs that. That is good.
That kind of stuff hasn't happened for so long.
Not in terms of the mad excess.
Like, I think, like, you know, when we did Krupa's final podcast.
Yes.
Some of my favorite trips are just going over to San Francisco and hanging out with people and just doing nice stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's like when you haven't got like either a press conference where you've got to turn stuff around quickly, or it's a show where you just kind of like there's no time to relax.
Mm.
Just actually, you know, chatting to people and having a nice time.
Yeah.
I'm the company dad.
Well, that's it. Yeah. I did, in the last year and a bit, I did 3 trips to Japan and I feel extremely privileged about that.
So that's a good point. Yeah.
Those are hard work because you're there for quite a short period of time for the trip.
Yeah.
But that place is the best.
PS2 like, launch was the last time I went.
Really?
Yeah.
That must have been incredible.
Yeah, but it's also a long time ago. I can't really. I just remember like them having like cans of Versailles in like vending machines in the hotel lobby. It's like, this is amazing.
Everything you do revolves around booze.
Well, but back
cocktails
then,
were great. Asahi was great.
You couldn't get Asahi freely in the UK.
Yeah.
Sushi wasn't really readily available in the UK. Vending machines with beer on street corners, never going to happen in the UK.
No, that's true, because we'd all be dead.
Exactly. So it was like, you know. And again, I find that the fact that cultures have got closer together, I find it a real shame. But Japan still has its unique identity.
Yeah, absolutely.
To some degree, probably not as much as it used to.
I don't think so, but it is. The other side of that is that it's like accessible to go to now.
Yes.
Every time I've gone, I've managed to get around. Apart from anything else, Google Maps is the greatest invention of all time.
Like there was no like well. In the very centre of Tokyo, the tube lines had English translations.
Yeah.
But out the equivalent, let's say, zone 2.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to go train shopping. And I managed to do it. But, like, God knows how I did it because we didn't have Google Maps and there was no English translation.
That's nuts.
It was kind of like, right, those kanji look exactly the same as that kanji.
So I need
to go there.
That's terrifying
to me. Not actually knowing where they're at.
It's like living in an old school adventure game. Yes. Just being like, I guess it's over here.
Yeah.
Fair play.
So I'd like to go back.
Jesse, where do you want to go in the course of work?
Well, to be honest, I've only ever been to America once. That was in Florida back when I was 13 years old. Swam with dolphins. Not really a press event or anything like that, unfortunately. But
they were advertising new dolphins.
Exactly. It was quite the experience.
It was for Echo the Dolphin.
Oh, that would be quite good.
But I guess for me, like, it's just the standard stuff. Obviously, I would like to see the San Francisco office, hopefully one time, and also just maybe go to Japan once in my life because I know all my mates would still like to go. And then
you can just rub their
face. Exactly. Right. If I can get there first, then, you know, I have won, which is what I want.
That's fair.
But, like, the smallest thing I've ever done was going to Camden for the Mafia 3 launch event.
Oh,
when,
fair play.
They took over a coffee shop and they were selling coffee at 1960s prices for like an entire afternoon.
That's quite
so
good.
So that was literally just me walking down the street, 10 minutes, getting on a tube, and then I was there. So that's
the
as much of my travel.
Of the games industry.
Exactly. It was quite exciting.
Honestly, if they did more events where I could buy coffee at 1960s prices,
then
it'll
be quite cool. They were selling a shot, not selling, but they were offering coffee shots in shotgun shells as well, which is quite cool.
It's quite aggressive.
And there was also some, I'm not sure if he was press or anything. It was just a guy wearing a fedora with a selfie stick just walking around vlogging the entire event. So that ruined it for me.
That's very mafia, isn't it?
They have ruined the 60s.
And then Vinnie Jones was there as well. And like, even though he has no hair on his head, I feel like it's sharp as a knife. You know, you fall and then you just get hurt landing on Vinnie Jones. He's just
what?
He's just quite the tank. Like, his head was so shiny and round, but also quite angular like a knife. It was very scary.
Shiny and round, but angular at the same time.
Exactly.
Fall on Vinnie Jones's head.
I mean, he was just walking around all over the gaff, and he was saying very weird things, which I won't get into. Mm. But yeah, that's all I've done so far.
Well, we'll make some dreams come true.
Exactly. You've set the bar very low.
Yeah. Exactly.
I met Vinnie Jones when I was 13 at Walthamstow Dog Track. And that's a story for another day.
Did you actually talk to him?
Yeah.
Oh.
He gave us an idea for a bet on a dog. And he made fun of my friend's sister. So
that's good.
There you go. That was nice of him.
That sounds typical of Vinnie Jones.
Because of Duplex Printing. Oh. Jesse, here's yours.
Wow, that's great.
Read some feedback.
I thought
we were about to find out you didn't know how to read.
I was just thinking, did someone else called Jesse sign in for something here? But no, this is from Dominic D'Amico from The Warmest Wishes from California. He says, greeting, lads. Inspired by Joe's account of getting stuck in OG Link's Awakening, I've got a question and a story for you. Have you ever had a time where you played a game as a kid and got stuck, only to come back years later and absolutely body the challenge? Nice word in there.
I love you don't hear the word body used enough to mean attack.
I remember getting stuck on fighting Sephiroth. That's it. I'm familiar with Kingdom Hearts 2. Back on the PS2 as a kid. I just couldn't beat him no matter what
that's
I tried.
That's in Final Fantasy 7 as well, by the way.
Oh, okay. Nice. I know all these games, man. Flash forward like 10 years or so, I had picked up the 2.5 remix and was playing through it.
Oh, sorry. It is in Kingdom Hearts. I apologize.
That's fine. And when I got to whatever that name was, which I'm not going to try and pronounce again, I trounced him within a couple of hours. I was now a champion and it felt amazing. Well, thanks, Dominic, for sending that in.
What games have you returned to from childhood?
Well, I never played games as a child.
So. Oh, that's sad.
What games?
Because they hadn't been invented.
Have you returned to any games that you forgot stuff?
No.
On?
Well, you
games hadn't been invented.
You know me. Like, I never go back and play old games.
No.
Well, there's one exception to that rule: Zelda.
Yeah.
But I am a person that looks forward, never back.
Wow, that's really deep.
Powerful.
I know, right? I find old games tedious and not as good as good games.
No, I think...
New games.
I think that's relatively true for me. I've got a sort of answer to that where I always used to get stuck on the second boss in Sonic 2 on the Game Gear.
Right.
I returned to it years later and I still couldn't beat him. I was really... Because I was like, this is it. I'm finally going to do it. Because I used to get quite upset that I couldn't beat him. I was like, I paid a lot of pocket money for this game and couldn't do it.
Well, games were much more difficult back then, right?
Sonic 2. Not Sonic 2.
Not Sonic 2, but...
Yeah.
Do you reckon you could beat it now?
If I could be arsed. I guess that... It's the same kind of thing I feel about Dark Souls, where every time I start it, I play about 10 hours and I'm like, stuck again. This is sad. it just doesn't make me feel good to be beaten.
No.
Jesse?
You're still a child, so...
Yeah, I'm still a childlike.
He's not. Don't feed into this
young
thing.
Back when I was playing the DS as a kid, I'm kidding. My answer is, even though, like, everyone knows I'm a big fan of Resident Evil.
Not everyone
on the podcast, but everyone who knows me. My first experience with Resident Evil was with Code Veronica X. And I got stuck on it because I didn't know you could run. You have to hold down the button to run, which was just very, very weird. So, like, back when I was 8 years old, I couldn't get past the first...
You were playing Resident Evil when you were eight?
I played a lot of things. I couldn't play GTA when I was a kid, but my mum let me play Scarface, which was even worse.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Because you're, like, actively selling drugs in that game. But to get back on Code Veronica X, I didn't know you had to hold square or something to run. So I just always died by the zombies. And then I think last year I tried playing through it again. And I obviously got past that, but then I got stuck again and just kind of gave up. So that's the good story.
So the answer to Dominic's question is no, none of us have ever returned to a childhood game and beaten it.
We're a lazy people who give up easily.
Finally, this is from Andy Callan. I should have cut this down because it's quite long. He hopes we're well.
That's good. Thank you.
I hope we are too.
I hope you're well.
That's so nice of you. Well done. He's endearing himself. I've been listening to the podcast for a little over a year now, and I'm always amazed at the amount of gaming you guys seem to be able to fit in what I assume are busy lives. Not to mention movies and TV shows. Well, we do nothing else. When Dale mentioned recently about the birth of his son, Donovan, while playing Football Manager and Cardi's continuing exploits in the game, it got me thinking about a time the greatest football simulator in the world nearly ruined my life. Football Manager, and indeed Championship Manager, were games I grew up watching my older brother play before immersing myself in the virtual world of football management when going to uni. In my final year, I used to play FM while taking breaks from exam revision, even multitasking by doing revision while the game loaded between matches. Perfect for a bite-sized chunk of information before moving on to my next team talk. That is the wrong way round. The morning of one of my final exams, I thought I'd have a little Football Manager session to help me relax while doing some last-minute cramming. Halfway through my game, I thought I'd double-check what room my exam was in, only to realise to my horror that I'd got the times wrong and my exam was in the morning, not the afternoon. So instead of going to my exam, I'd been playing Football Manager. Oh. Thankfully, I was able to retake the exam later in the summer, which I passed. Congratulations, Andy. What grade did you get? I'm interested in that. This got me to wondering, have any of you missed an important appointment / meeting as a result of playing a video game? Alex?
No.
Really? You're organised?
Well, I'm fairly organised, yes. Video games have bled into... when GTA 3 came out, God, I was playing that way too much. I was freelance at the time. And so I was late with submissions.
Right, yeah.
But I think that's just freelance in general, frankly.
Yeah. My experience with freelancers generally.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do remember, like, I'd be walking down the street, I'd see a nice car and go, I could just walk up, I could just open that door, and I could have that.
That's actually, I really like it, those moments where playing a game too much bleeds into how you think about things. Yeah. I remember playing fucking loads of Civilization 4 and going past a field of horses and going... good place for a settlement. I could get cavalry from there.
That seems like me thinking about stealing a Porsche or something. Yeah. It seems slightly more sinister. And I told that to my wife.
Yeah.
And she just thought I was mental, which I think is fair.
Yeah, that's wrong.
And like Tetris as well. God, I played so much Tetris that you just start seeing those things
falling down. The Tetris effect.
It's awful.
I used to get terrifying. Guitar Hero where the walls moved.
Yeah.
Do you ever have that?
I didn't play Guitar Hero as much, but it was a similar thing. And that, you know, when you fall asleep and you've been playing it loads, and then it's just there.
Blocks
and
in your brain.
You're trying to fit stuff together. It's just, oh.
Save me! No. Jesse?
This was back when I had, for the first time, pre-ordered my first ever game.
Mm-hmm.
This was Alien Colonial Marines.
No!
I know, exactly. That was my first ever pre-order. And it was like, everyone remembers the one trailer that they showed when it looked like a good game.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, man, I'm going to pre-order my first game. And I did. And then when it got released and I played it, I was so depressed that I missed my final ICC deadline back in, I think, secondary school.
Mm.
And that's the only time I've actually missed something ever important just because of how depressed I was because of Alien Colonial Marines.
The second to last time I went to Sweden, this is indirect, but I was writing a preview of Super Mario Odyssey.
I remember this.
And I got well into it because I was like, I had all these ideas. I had this grand structure. I was like properly typing away, drinking a £9 beer from a Swedish airport. I'd ordered a burger. I was absolutely loving life. I finished it off. I saved the document and I looked at the time and I was like, wow, I've still got loads of time. This is weird. And then looked up and the clock showed me that my laptop had not changed time zone and I had missed my flight by an hour.
Yeah.
And I had to pay lots of money to get home.
That's good.
And it took me quite a while because that was a press trip where the person who flew me out, it wasn't like a company thing. He'd done it as a favour.
Yeah.
And it took me about a year to tell him that I'd missed the flight he'd paid lots of money for.
But that's because you were working, not because you were messing around or playing.
But it was because I'd played Super Mario Odyssey, I missed a flight. That's how I'm doing
it. Gotcha.
It's indirect.
All right.
Yeah, so that's all our feedback. Thank you very much.
There you go.
I would love to hear people tell us about... ways that games have insidiously bled into their real lives and made them think things they didn't want to think.
Yeah.
Nothing
too sinister.
Yeah, no stuff where we could go to jail for saying it.
Hopefully we would edit that out before it got to it.
Don't know, mate. We're pretty slack. IGN IGN.com is the address where you can do that.
Yeah.
You sound excited about it.
That's an address I'll try to remember.
Can we change that address one day?
No.
Why?
Because it's been part of this. In fact, it's been here longer than you have.
That's actually very true. I wonder if, it's sort of part of the firmament now. It's like how they made N64 really hard to develop for to make sure it got good quality games.
There you go.
Like, you have to be a good quality emailer to remember that big old mess.
Which is why we only get three a week.
Yeah. More or less. Anyway. Yeah, and, you know, if you've got any rumours that you want Jesse to confirm or deny,
you can do it.
Send those in as well.
Jesse's rumour mill is a confirmed section on the podcast now, so I'm happy to announce that.
That's so good of you to do for us. Alex, you were meant to be hosting this. I don't know why I've taken control of the outro.
You're very good at it, Joe.
Thanks so much.
But it's a pleasure, as always, to chat to you.
That didn't sound sincere.
Oh, I realise why I took over.
And, I'll probably be on her again, maybe.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
Jesse will as well.
Yeah, I'm new around here. You know? I'll be
and
back.
And he's so young.
Exactly.
Bye.
See you later.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.